Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. I'm getting a flood of baby come back by player text. All right, I like this one. You're confusing me right now. Are you talking about Locke or Trubisky? They sound the same to me. Are they? That's your question mark presented by Breaks Plus. Are they the same guy? I mean, does that fall under the category of, look, if your option is a Sam Darnold or a Mitch Trubisky, an Andy Dalton, If none of these guys you're absolutely convinced are going to be better than what you think Drew Locke might be with another year of experience and an offseason and getting comfortable with his receivers and Pat Shurmur and all that, if you're not convinced that those guys are going to be leaps and bounds better, aren't you just better off running it back with Drew Locke?
What's interesting about the two personalities? I get the sense that Trubisky lacks swagger, lacks that. Like, Trubisky cares, man. He wants to be good. He cares. I can sense that, Mike, but there's probably just a lack of, I think sometimes to be really good, you've got to have that athletic arrogance of, I give no craps about what goes down here. I'm going to make this throw and whatever happens is going to happen. And I'll move on. And hey, I've always said, I don't think I had the personality to play quarterback or to play corner because it would, if I made a mistake that was, in front of the nation, I think it, I just don't think I'm mentally tough enough, if you will, to overcome some of that stuff. Like, I let that stuff eat me up inside, right? And that's the sense I get with Trubisky. And so can you get to the point where you have some not fake swagger, but natural swagger, where you have that confidence, where you can get to the point where you're like, I don't give a rip. I'm just going to let this thing fly.
Chicago's a tough town to try to,
but
fake swagger your way through.
Right. I would say this maybe about Locke. I think you probably have unearned
right
swagger. Yeah. You walk in and you got some swagger that you haven't earned.
Yeah, dial it back a little
bit. Right. And you need to, they're different personalities. Maybe they're arriving at the same place, so to speak, but they're completely different personalities. And again, I don't know. I mean, I'm not doing a psych profile on either of them. I've just met with both of them several times.
On this is just me Friday. Is it just me or the Nuggets? Poor Nuggets. You got to feel sympathetic to the Nuggets. We're clamoring out here for the Nuggets to get national attention, right? And now they are for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
So yesterday, if you haven't seen it, I'll let you insert the line there if you want.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's seen it. If you live here, you don't get to see it.
So the Nuggets are down 112-110.
Well, unless you have some type of Russian satellite that you can tap into, and if you're Hacker to Huff, then you can watch
the
games.
The Sparrow.
The Sparrow. If you're like the Sparrow, you can actually see the games, but if you don't have the Sparrow's, if you don't have his technical skills.
Should we try this one more time?
Yeah.
The heck? Why not?
Why
it's
not?
A Friday. Let's check in with our resident hacker, Sparrow to Huff, to find out if he is able to get the Nuggets and Avalanche games.
Hello. This is the Sparrow. I cannot see the games.
I got to be honest, guys, I was not paying attention. Yeah. I was cutting up audio for Sandy and Orlando.
Oh, Sandy and Orlando. Okay.
So what's happening?
Right. Chickabella.
Yeah, it's all good.
Never mind,
Sparrow.
All right, go back to hacking. Yeah, go back to hacking. Anyway, so they're down 112-110. They get the ball off a rebound, and they immediately, with Jamal Murray, take off up court.
Yeah.
And immediately they have numbers. They have three guys. It was
three on one.
It basically morphed into a four on two.
Two.
And so they had, the Nuggets had Jamal Murray on the left side of the court, crossing half court, two Wizards players coming out to meet him. Meanwhile, there are three Nuggets running unimpeded down the right side of the court. It was Campuzo, Will Barton, and Michael Porter Jr. Porter Jr. was the lead guy down court. And when you look at the highlight, especially when you look at the still frame, the entire right side of the court is open.
Right.
Wide open. All Jamal Murray has to do is make an easy flip pass, and Michael Porter Jr. is going to sail in for an uncontested dunk. Game's tied. We're going to overtime. Instead, this is where the analytics of basketball are a demon. All three guys flare out beyond the three-point line, where you see that all the time now in basketball, and the ball ends up going to Campazzo, who takes a three-pointer that has no chance of going.
Clanks it off the front of the rim.
So, yes, your Nuggets are now getting national attention as Jalen Rose was on ESPN's Get Up and talked about that fateful sequence.
A lack of professional basketball IQ. I hate to break it to fans and members of the media, and it's not just in the pros. Sports is actually a kid's game. And you know what people do more than you realize? They play like we're not keeping score. And then all of a sudden you look up the last 2 minutes, it's a close game, let's try to win the game. Think about the Pelicans game. They were down three and ended up going 4-2. This team is down two and ends up going 4-3. It shows you what they're taught. It shows you how they practice. But I'm going to tell you actually whose fault this play was. Michael Porter Jr. Run that play again.
Yeah.
He's 6'10", Greeny.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray has the ball on the left side. When the defender commits, that's his dunk. That's his dunk. Not the guy who's the undrafted rookie shooting it. Michael Porter Jr. is their third best player. That's why if you see him walk off after this, watch who he points at. His chest. Look, my fault. Because he knows he should have been the guy to take that layup or a dunk. He put Jamal Murray in the bad spot.
Jalen Rose on ESPN's Get Up. I love that line about how too many of these guys play like there's no score being kept. And you know what? For almost 48 minutes of a basketball game, you can do that. You can play the analytics and you can say, hey, taking a three is actually a better shot to take than a easy two because of the analytics and everything like that. But at some point, you do have to play the score. You do have to play the moment. You have to play the situation. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, you got to be a coaching staff and you got to be a team and you got to be a player that understands the difference between analytics and just doing the smart basketball thing. And the smart basketball thing was take the easy layup.
Right.
Send the game into overtime and let's go win it there instead of taking a low percentage at that moment, a low percentage three.
George Karl was on yesterday talking about you've got to play professional basketball and morph out of this UAA basketball or AUU or UAA. It's UAA. What is it? What is that basketball? AAU. You got to morph out of that and morph into professional. And that's why he was talking about having, a real professional run the point, a real professional use,
You're not putting this on Murray, are you?
No. I'm just saying that's that mentality. That analytics, let's roll up to the three. Like when you can go in there and tie that thing and go into overtime and I'm with him. I'm with what Jalen said. You're playing like you don't know what the score is. That part is disappointing. And that's why those guys who understand the game, those guys that are just ultimate dogs, those guys that are killers, the guys that create culture, that's why those guys are so valuable and there are less and less of those guys willing to do the dirty work, willing to make the sacrifice, willing to, you know, to lead the team, willing to be unpopular at times with their guys in the locker room. You know, those are the guys. I'm telling you what, culture becomes the most important thing for me. And this is just, I mean, what do I know? I just, I was on three championship teams. Culture. I'll take culture over talent any day of the week.
You mean guys like Mason Plumlee and Torrey Craig and Jeremy Grant?
Yeah, guys that are dogs, guys that understand the game, guys that will give you those dirty minutes and give you those sacrificial kind of minutes.
How much of this do you put on Michael Malone?
I put it more on the organization for not, I don't know how much Michael Malone has in the authority of who he wants to keep and who.
No, that play.
Oh, no. Those are guys. Those are guys trying to, win a game and be a star.
No, I don't know about that. No. In this case, I know we like our Michael Malone, but those three guys, there was no thought. You look at the highlight again. There was no thought. They were almost it was almost robotic. It was almost preconditioned.
Right.
They immediately sprinted to a spot.
I get it. But look,
like they had been coached.
Listen to what Jalen Rose said. Jalen said at the end, all of a sudden, Michael Porter went, patted his chest and said, my bad. Like, I should have cut to the hoop.
Right, but that's because once the moment passed, he was like, wow, upon reflection, that was dumb. But what was his initial don't even think, just play, just react thought? Sprint to that spot. I mean, there was no, go back and look, there wasn't like he started to run towards the lane and then cut back out. I mean, he sprinted to that spot like they're coached. And it's not just a Nugget thing. It's an NBA thing. This is the influence of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, by the way.
But I don't think Michael Malone is coaching him to run to that. I think there is, one guy spot up, one guy cut to the hoop, one guy, like, you gotta be smart enough to know who's who, and you gotta be smart enough to understand the situation.
Well, that is coaching. Because there's plenty of coaching.
You can coach all you want. If you're coaching somebody who's dumb, it doesn't help you. I've seen great coaching get exploited by stupid play. That's not a Michael Malone. I mean, it's not a Michael Malone thing saying, everybody spot up on the 3-point line. I guarantee you. That's not how it's being coached.
But I guarantee you they spend most of their time talking about fast breaks, secondary breaks, and how to play in that situation. And the fact remains, look, this started happening about 10 years ago, and it immediately started driving me crazy because, the old school basketball guy in me is like, wait a minute, you're telling me I got a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1 or a 3-on-2. I'm used to just seeing, here comes the point guard down the middle of the floor with the ball. Here come the two wings, James Worthy style, flying in off the wing for one of those great dunks.
Right.
2 points. Thank you very much. Very easy. We go back the other way. That has now changed, and it drove me crazy when I see those two wings come down. Instead of crashing the lane, they flare out beyond the 3-point arc. I'm like, what are you? I pull my hair out. I hated it. But
that's what happened.
That's right. This wasn't always wispy.
The NBA created your wispy hair.
This was not always wispy hair.
We have gotten down to the bottom.
This used to be full, thick, flowing locks. But then that one play caused it to become wispy.
You still look like Prince Charming.
Right.
Yeah. Now you've gone the reverse. It wasn't the frog. It wasn't kiss the frog and create Prince Charming. It was watch NBA basketball and go from Prince Charming to the frog, pulling out your hair. We figured it out.
I know.
We figured it out.
Now, Michael Malone afterwards says he doesn't understand why Michael Porter Jr. didn't cut. I'll tell you why. Because this is the way the players are coached for 47 minutes and 58 seconds. They are coached, take the three. The analytic geeks upstairs are telling us that's the better play.
Don't.
And so don't be surprised when in that moment
if your guy is just preconditioned to go to that spot and do it. And it wasn't just one guy, by the way. It was all three guys did it. That tells you that that's the way they've been coached. And the fact that they don't recognize at that moment that you got to break off that and take the easy layup. I mean, that's coaching.
I think it's a lack of execution by players. And there's a reason that Michael Malone is so hesitant to play Michael Porter Jr. Basketball IQ. I mean, now, by the way, the 6'11 Michael Porter Jr. loves to hang out at the 3-point line anyhow. You know, that's been, but again, that's, you know, for all of those who say you got to play him, you got to play him, you got to play him. That's why you don't want to play him, because you know the thought process going through.
We talk all the time about situational football.
Mm-hmm.
And we rip on Vic Fangio for seemingly to fail situational football moments, right? Well, that was situational basketball right there. Let's be consistent. I know everybody likes Michael Malone. Nobody wants to put this on Michael Malone, but if we're going to be insistent about situational moments, situational football, that was a situational basketball moment, and it was an epic fail by not just one guy, three guys. So when three guys fail in a situational moment like that, come on. Coach has to take responsibility in that.
Well, I mean, I will tell you this. I mean, think about like situational football. That, remember the Chicago game that the Broncos lost a couple years ago, or in the last play before they kicked the 52 or 53 yard or whatever. It was like 4th and 18, and they ran. I mean, it was a classic. You get in a, I think they were in a 2x2 set, right? But the classic, it's a classic. You run the inside receiver on a go. And you run the outside receivers on a dig at the sticks, right? So he's an in-cutting route at the sticks. And then you run a flare out and you try to suck up the linebacker, right? And you know, that's a situational football thing. Play deep to shallow. And what happened? You know, your linebacker sucks up on the underneath stuff, right? And you hit the dig behind it. And they get down and are able to call a timeout and kick a field goal and win that game. Is that Vic Fangio's fault? That's not Vic Fangio's fault. I know it was coached the other way, but the player got a little eye candy and he couldn't help himself and he jumped something where he should have been, where he should have had depth. Same thing happened to the Super Bowl to the 49ers. Mosley, the corner. They ran that route on a cover three, that swat, wasp. And he jumped the dig and the linebacker was way underneath the dig. Like they were 20 yards deep. They had that thing covered 100%. And what did the corner do? I'm going to be a hero. This is where the ball's going. He jumped it. He jumped out of his responsibility. Next thing you know, Mahomes throws the wasp to Tyreek Hill. They convert a 3rd and 18 or whatever it is. And then they go on that run and they win the football game. That was coached. It was coached for you to stay back there, but you as a player disregarded what your responsibility is because you're playing hero ball. Like you could sit there and coach it all day long, but if every guy wants to be the hero and hang out a 3-point line and knock down the winning shot, not the game tying shot, because the winning shot's what you get on SportsCenter, now you're an idiot. And that's not, that to me isn't coaching.
I love texts like this from Don in Lakewood. Michael Malone did not coach that. Stop it. Evans, do you even know basketball? They made a mistake last night. And MPJ and Murray took the heat. This is a non-story. God, I love it. I love it when the basketball and hockey savants are like, do you even know basketball? It is the way it is coached. Watch basketball. I do watch basketball. Do you watch basketball, Don Lakewood? Because you see it time after time after time. Fast breaks. Where guys just flare off behind the 3-point line and jack up threes. On 3-on-2s, 3-on-1s, 4-on-2s, 4-on-1s, they take threes. It is coached that way. And in large part, it's coached that way because of analytics. And when it is coached that way and you play that way over and over again, don't be surprised when in that moment, that's how these guys are preconditioned to react. And it's a way that the game is played. It's a reflection on the way the game is played. But yeah, ultimately in that moment, situational basketball, you got to know the situation. Bradley Beal of the Wizards says, yes, I thought they were going to take the layup. We were going to go to damn overtime.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he thought was going to happen.
Sure.
Because he had enough presence as a veteran player, who, by the way, I would love to see here, yeah, as a veteran player at that moment to say, oh, shoot, I got a wide open layup. They're going to score a layup. We're going overtime.
I say this all the time.
He knew the moment.
Right. I say this all the time about analytics in general. Like, if analytics take over like they have in baseball, in football, then maybe I'll just quit. Because there's a place for analytics, Mike. There's a place for it in every sport. But you can't let it dictate your sport. There still has to be, the eyeball test still has to be part of it. The understanding of situations have to be a part of it. And I'll give you a for instance. Here's how analytics would, like, analytics would handcuff you in football. Say, hey, but, you know, by the way, when we run to the left side, like we run to the left side, we're averaging, you know, almost a yard per carry more when we run to the left side. That's a great analytical point, right? So the analytics guys would tell you, hey, man, we got to run 70% of our plays when we're running to the left. And then you play a team that has the two best players in the league that line up on the right side of the defense or the left side of the offense. You bang your head against the wall against those two players when you know they're better than you? Well, that's what the analytics tell you to do. Mm-hmm. Well, the analytics is stupid because they don't understand what the other team has. So now you have to change. So you have to be able to look at the information and go, wow, okay, we are more efficient running that way. Well, why are we more efficient? Well, guess what? Our two best players are on that side of the ball. So it makes sense that we're more efficient. Or we run better weak than we once run strong because our tight end is really, and we're in a right-handed formation 80% of the time, our tight end is really soft. He just wants to be a receiver. So we do run better weak than we run strong. Whatever it is, Mike. But you got to look at the information and go, okay, that's great information to have. Now, why does it work? Why is it happening? And who are we facing? And so there's a place for it everywhere. But the problem is like everything else in society, we've become lazy. Oh, well, let's just do whatever the analytics tell us. Well, it's not always right. I mean, look at what happened in the World Series with Snell pitching,
right?
Those guys were 0-9 with, like, 7 strikeouts, right? Well, let's take him out now. I mean, they were celebrating. The Dodgers were celebrating in the dugout when they came to yank Snell. He had 70-some-odd pitches. Like, it's the stupidest thing ever.
Texter says, if that 3-ball Evans goes down, you're praising Malone today for his guts to go for the win. You're a hypocrite. No, I'm not. There's no way I'd be praising. I'd be like, you got away with one. You got lucky. I mean, you really think after everything I just said about how gut-wrenching, stomach-turning this trend in basketball when it started about 10 years ago, how much it bothered me, you think today I'd be saying, yeah, that was smart. I'd say you got away with one. That would have been one of those, no, 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 yes, it worked. But it wouldn't have been the right play.
That's right. Hey, guys, I mean, this is serious because his hair is wispy now because of this.
Yes. This is why I have wispy hair.
Used to be full locks.
Because guys don't fill lanes anymore. That's it. That's the answer. You always wanted to know.
Used to call him Sir Locks-a-Lot.
Exactly.
Now they just call him Wispy Guy.
If they just kept filling lanes and getting layups and dunks,
still have a lot.
My hair would be better than yours.
Let's not. Okay. Now you just went. Now you went over the top. Like, you had me. You had the whole audience. Everybody's like, man, he's making a great point right now. Man, this guy is really serious. This is a guy. And then you just shattered your credibility with that.
It's true.
Shattered it.
It's true. It's true.
Shattered.
It was that glorious. I mean, I had the wave. I had the Sean Cassidy blow-dried beauty.
Did you ever get a perm?
No, I never did that. No perms. No perms.
I did a perm once, like in the 7th grade.
You did?
Yeah.
You had a perm.
Yeah.
There's got to be a picture of that. Come on.
And my hair is still so straight. It really didn't.
You got to go. You got to talk to your mom and both sides. I got to get a picture of you with a perm.
One of my best buddies' mom was a hairdresser, and she used to cut our hair all the time. And one day, she brought a bunch of stuff in and gave us all perms.
I mean, I'll be totally honest. Every morning before high school, blow dryer. Had the blow dryer going to get that, had the the feathering going. Absolutely.
I just wore a hat.
Well, you were in Alaska.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Reaction to that, Ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Russell Wilson's not going to be a Raider, is he? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Bronco country get a collective shiver down their back when they heard that one of Russell Wilson's four teams were the Raiders. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Mahomes in Kansas City, Herbert in La La Land, and Russell Wilson in Vegas.
What did it mean?
Would you change? Okay. Serious question.
Okay.
Would you change your tune on roster building if that happened? Or would you say, you know what? This is US, USSR. We got an arms buildup going on right now and we have no choice but to match their 10 nukes with 12 of our own. We got no choice.
Where do you put Deshaun Watson in the arms race versus Mahomes and versus Russell Wilson? Is he number three?
Number three in what? The NFL or in the West?
No, like in the West, in that group of quarterbacks, isn't he still number three?
Watson?
Yes. Is Russell Wilson a better quarterback than Watson?
I would say yes. I would say I would take Wilson.
So would I.
Okay. But all I've been battered with over the last month or so is that Deshaun Watson is a unicorn. There is no difference between Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, or very little difference. That if Watson had been in Kansas City these last 2 years, they would have won a Super Bowl and gone to another. And Mahomes would have gone 4-12 in Houston. That's the familiar drumbeat that I've been listening to. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. I would still take Wilson, but it's against that backdrop that I say I'd still take Wilson. But this is what you're told about Watson.
I understand what you're being told, but I'm still saying that, I mean, I get the arms race aspect of that, and I get the quarterback aspect of that, and the I guess the issue, you know, the issue is, and here's the funny part that we don't understand. The Chiefs had built their roster. They had built their roster. You go back to the 2012 draft where they got Kelce and they got, you know, and they got Fisher, and then they got Mitchell Schwartz in free agency, and then they got, you know, in 2016 they got Tyreek Hill, and you know, in 2017 they got, you know, they built their roster, and then, you know, they went
12-4 with Alex Smith,
right? They had Alex Smith while they were building this, and then, you know, ultimately they traded up, they got Patrick Mahomes. You look at their drafts from 2018 when they got Mahomes, 2018, 2019, 2020. Like, they don't have those high round draft choices because they traded them away because they already had a roster built. So looking toward the Raiders, I mean, offensively, the Raiders have put together a pretty decent roster.
because they traded away some defensive players. They got some draft picks. They got draft capital. Like offensively, they've got a pretty good roster.
But, Mark, if you're Kansas City, go back to Kansas City, maybe their mindset then. Yeah, they looked around the division, and Peyton was there. But they knew Peyton was near the end, so they knew that this was a short-term thing.
Right.
Probably say the same thing about Phillip Rivers being there. You know, Rivers isn't going to be there that much longer.
Yes.
And you had Derek Carr. So that gave them, I would think, a certain ability to take a breath. All right, let's build this up. But if you're the Broncos, and all of a sudden, overnight, you got Mahomes, you got Russell Wilson, and Herbert all in your division. Mahomes is young. Herbert's uber young. Wilson's still only 31, 32 years old. At that point, you can't be saying, well, those guys are going to be moving on pretty quick. They're going to be there for years and years.
Yeah, I get it.
Doesn't that change the way you respond?
If you respond and you give up, I mean, right now, you know, from just a pure roster standpoint, you're just not in the same realm as the teams that you're dealing with right now. So you trade away all your capital to get that guy. And I mean, how apt are you to be able to build that thing back up?
Are you getting ready to do something here? You just turned the tables on me. I just got a glimpse of what it's like to be Mark Schlereth, minus the bulging muscles. Is that, well, normally while you're talking, I'll get a little grin on my face.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I'll whisper to Millennial Ben, and pretty soon, you know, the soap opera scene is playing. While I was talking, you got a little grin on your face, you started whispering to Millennial Ben.
I thought,
and what do you got up your sleeve?
Well, this is not about making fun of you. So calm down. This is my own. You know, I have my I told you so island.
Beautiful.
By the way, I came to pick up my granddaughter for Taekwondo the other day. We get in the car, we're driving to Taekwondo, and she goes, how's things going on I Told You So Highland? My granddaughter told me that.
Really?
Yeah, Gwenny told me that. I said, how do you know that? She goes, I listen to your show. She goes, I listen to your show.
That's so
but crazy. I, like, my philosophy is it, I've got the peaches and herb philosophy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I like this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Little disco.
Yeah, this is not the song I was looking for, but
it's a great song, though.
It's the only one he has. I told him, give me solid, solid as a rock. Right? And in part of that song, they say, build it up, and, you know, but then he gave me
Shake Your Groove Thing.
Which, I love Shake Your Groove Thing. I love that, Benny, but it wasn't the point, Benny.
You know, speaking of, what does she do, Taekwondo?
Yeah, Taekwondo.
The Huff reminds me, and we love this movie. On this date, in 1988, February 26, 1988, do you know what classic movie?
Oh, yeah.
Classic example of cinematography was released?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I do.
Bloodsport.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, Jean-Claude, no, no!
What movie is that from?
I don't know.
Inside Joe.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
So, the Huff and I love talking about Bloodsport.
It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Ever made.
Yeah.
And, can you do Chung Lee?
Hold on. What does he do?
Okay.
Now I break you like I broke your friend.
Are his lips actually, are they off when he does that? You know, the old ones that are done in a different language,
they try to dub it up.
And they're all,
I'll have to go back and watch.
I must break you.
No, I think that was legitimate.
And
serious acting from Chung Lee.
Remember at the end, Jean-Claude has
Frank Dukes
has his arm tied up and he's like, say it! Fayette! And he's like looking around because his eye, he can't see out of his eyes because he is blinded, but he still won the fight.
Right.
Because he's so in tune with his karate. Such a great movie.
Oh, it is great.
Horrible acting.
Horrible acting. You know who's in that movie? Who actually is a Forrest Whitaker.
Yes.
Is in that movie.
In Bloodsport?
Yes.
He's the cop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the more accomplished actors of our time,
right,
who got dragged into that acting cesspool somehow.
Is that
before he became a big actor?
Yeah. It was definitely early on. It was 1988, so yeah.
Bloodsport.
But Bloodsport.
Dang.
I thought Ashford and Simpson sang solid as a rock.
Oh, you're right. They do sing. Ashford
Simpson.
My
millennial Ben, I apologize for Schlereth. He gave you
bad information.
Really bad information.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant Ashford and Simpson. What did I say? I said
Peaches and Herb.
Well, I said solid
Isn't
as a
Peaches
rock.
Peaches and Herb, like reunited?
Yeah, reunited. Yeah. And it feels so good.
Yeah.
And the groove thing. All right.
And the groove
thing. See if you can find Solid as a Rock by Peaches and Herb.
Yeah.
We've kind of buried the lead.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about Very Good, but Brick Not Hit Back. Remember that one?
Who says that?
I think that was Chung Lee, too, wasn't it?
Very Good, but Brick Don't Hit Back.
Chung Lee was badass, man.
Yeah, he's huge.
Huge. But hey, Frank Dukes took him down. USA, USA.
USA.
All right. Coming up next, this is how deep we go to get to the bottom of the Deshaun Watson story. Who are the teams leaving voicemails for Deshaun Watson? Millennial Ben shaking his head like, really, we're going to do that again? Yes, we are. Next. So the Houston Texans continue to dig in and say that they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. They're not even taking calls on Deshaun Watson. But that hasn't stopped teams from leaving messages. Like, apparently you can still leave voice messages.
Sure. You've got a voicemail on my phone, don't you?
Yeah, but do you think, like, yeah, does Nick Caserio walk into his office and there's a machine with a blinking red light?
I think it's built in.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, a cell phone. You can leave. Yeah, you ever have, try to leave a cell phone message and, you know, and they're like, hey, this voicemail is full.
Right.
Yeah.
So we go to no expense. We spare no expense when it comes to getting to the bottom of the story because we know how much Deshaun Watson coming to the Broncos means to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know who's making these calls. Is George Payton leaving a message? So with our unique hacking skills, we were able to get to some of these phone calls and some of these messages. And here are some of them, including one from Bill Belichick.
Hey, it's Bill. We need to make this happen. We need to get Deshaun in a Patriots uniform. Listen to me. I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl. I can't stop. Let's do it. All right, call me back.
I've never heard Bill Belichick that excited about anything.
I know. I like when he does the little...
Right.
Right. All right, so Bill Belichick clearly wants Deshaun Watson bad. But it's not just Bill Belichick. Hey, if he can't get Russell Wilson, maybe, I guess Gruden wants Deshaun Watson in Vegas.
Hey, it's John Gruden. I want Deshaun Watson in a Raider uniform. What's it gonna take? I'll tell you what, man. I'll get you a year of free buffets at Circus Circus. I don't even know if it's around anymore. But that's the kind of guy Johnny Gruden is. Let's make it happen. Call me back.
It's kind of a mixture of Gruden and Al Davis.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
Apparently, you know, Daniel Snyder of the Washington football team always has an opinion on quarterbacks, and, he wants Watson.
Hello, it's Dan Snyder. We need to get Deshaun Watson in a Washington football team uniform. It'll be great. We'll have sparkles. We'll have fireworks everywhere. It's great. Let's make it happen. Call me back.
Dan Snyder sounds a lot like your mother. when she calls in.
Yes, yes, yeah. A little bit like, yeah. But I always knew Daniel Snyder was a clown. Well, right. That just proves it. He sounds like one, too. That's not his fault. He has a gland problem.
See, you see what I'm saying?
Just because he wears husky pants does not mean he's a bad person.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
It sounds a lot like your mom.
Uncanny.
Right.
Okay. Then this was the stunner because forget about George Payton calling. D-Mac and Tyler, the drive.
What?
Yes, they're taking it upon themselves to try to get Deshaun Watson to Denver.
Hi, this is D-Mac, and this is my friend Tyler Palumbus.
Palumbus.
Okay. Anyway, we want Deshaun Watson in a uniform for the Broncos. What do we got to do? I don't know if you know this, but I ride my bike every day. Not really relevant to the situation, but I wanted to tell you.
Me talk football.
Okay, maybe you don't talk anymore.
Tyler's sad.
Anyway, I could pick up Deshaun from the airport. That could save you some cost. I'll just put him on the back of my bike, because I like to ride my bike a lot. I get all sweaty, so it's okay. It just means I'm working hard. Let's make it happen. I'll have my producer, Richie, make a glittery sign. He's really good with arts and crafts. Anyway, give me a call back. Let's make a deal. Or call the Broncos. I don't know. I could be in the middle of it. I don't care. I just want to be a part of something. Bye.
No, Palumbus speak.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I should tune in at 3 o'clock today.
Yeah, I just don't. Just, kind of hang out.
Just hang out. I got one more text I need to read here today. Okay. And I don't know. I have mixed emotions reading it. Here we go. Is it just me or has the Paxton Lynch smear campaign gone on long enough? It's time to put it to rest. May I suggest you guys have the legend himself come on the show, and I guarantee he will find a way to smear himself for the grand finale of all Paxton smears. And he'll probably cry, too. Joey Bag of Donuts. Joey Bag of Donuts. Joey, you almost had me there. You almost had me there. And then you got in the...
He'll probably cry then, too.
Ah, that's a smear.
27. What was it? 2147? 2147. Joey Bag of Donuts kind of pulling on our heartstrings a little bit before he throws the smear in.
Before he throws him back under the bus.
Right.
Good.
D-Max sounds like the annoying kid from the Polar Express.
Whole movie was annoying, by the way. You like the Polar Express?
You know what? When it first came out, I was like, oh, that's kind of freaky. I don't like
it. Hi, this is D-Max.
I hated every second of it.
Really? I don't know. I'm such a Hanks fan. I guess I give him the benefit of the doubt because it's Hanks.
Nah, that's bad.
Last text. Don't you guys dare stop the Paxton smear campaign. Don't you worry. It's not going anywhere. All right, everybody have a great weekend. You have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Sorry, no more snow for you to shovel or snow blow.
I'm disappointed. My snowsuit's just standing right by the front door. Ready.
Ready to go.
I got moon boots.
Moon boots, yeah.
You're at a certain age to know what moon boots are.
I know.
Moon boots, mittens.
Yep. Ready to go.
One of them fur hats that hang down.
With the flaps.
Yeah, with the flaps.
What are you, Elmer Fudd?
Goggles.
Goggles. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back again bright early Monday morning. Sandy and the Big O coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.